It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with a bonus episode of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We have the Associate Executive Director of the Arkansas Activities Association, Steve Roberts, with us today. And he's going to tell us a little bit about how the Arkansas Activities Association plays into high school athletics and the other things they play into. And then we're going to talk to him about some different things we've got questions about that I think will be interest to everyone that listens to us. Steve, just give us a little bit of the what the Activities Association does for high school athletics and other extracurricular activities.
Oh, you bet. And it's great to be here with you today. And
appreciate you coming this way.
You bet. Hopefully it's an informative time and maybe clear some things up the way that people think of what we do. I often say that we are the most misunderstood organization in the state of Arkansas because people use sentences saying the AAA does this or the AAA does that or why doesn't the AAA do this? And in fact, the AAA, as far as our staff, has very little say-so in what we do. We solely and completely just administer the rules that the schools have voted in. We're the most democratic organization in the state. Every member school has one vote. They don't elect representatives to vote for them, or you know, different groups or classifications have more votes than others. Every member school has one vote, and they make the rules. When it comes to our handbook, there's only two ways that a rule or a way that we classify schools or conference schools or eligibility concerns, any of that, there's only two ways that things can get into our rule book. One of them is the schools voted in. When they voted in, they have an opportunity through their activity districts to make proposals. It gets out of activity districts. And then in the last week of July, first week of August, we have our governing body meetings. And every proposal is on the table, and the schools can vote it in. If it's a constitutional change, then it requires a two-thirds vote. And if it's a bylaw change, it requires a simple majority vote. And that can change what the rules are in our handbook. The other way that things can get changed in our handbook or added to our handbook, amended, whatever you want to say, is the state legislature can enact laws. And obviously, we're part of the state of Arkansas. We live in the state of Arkansas. Our school's in the state of Arkansas, so we have to follow state law.
Right.
So if they enact a law, then we follow the law. So the decisions we make are solely based on the interpretation of the rules that the schools and the legislature have put in. So that's primarily what we do. We do govern all high school sports and high school activities, making sure that kids have an opportunity to have a very positive experience in their participation in extracurricular activities at schools.
Okay, can you tell me what's the staff like at the Activities Association?
Well, our executive director, Lance Taylor, has been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. He was an associate executive director like I'm in now, and then has been the director, I'm not sure, 17, 18, 19 years. He's been there over 20 years total, very knowledgeable as to the history of the AAA. He spends a lot of his time now working with the legislators to make sure that they are informed as to the direction of high school sports and high school activities. Dr. Joey Walters is the deputy director. He's been there for a long time as well. And then Nick Lasker, Don Brodell, Bobby Swafford, and myself, and Crystal Holloway are all associate or assistant directors. And we each have different sports that we're over. I'm over football, softball, our corporate sponsorships, and then our student advisory council. I'm over those four things, as well as answering eligibility questions on a daily basis. And a lot of our time is spent answering questions from coaches, athletic directors, administrators, making sure that they're on the same page that they need to be on in order to have kids have the best opportunity to be successful.
Well, we appreciate you coming down, and we appreciate that explanation of what actually the Arkansas Activities Association is doing for athletics and for extracurricular activities in the state of Arkansas. And you did provide us with a map of the 5A football conference, is it? And you know, and looking at that, you know, one of the big things that you hear a lot of people down here talk about, and you knew that was coming, is why you brought the map, I'm
right.
sure, is that, you know, why are we playing Little Rock Park
right.
View? And, you know, and you go ahead and
well,
explain that, if you will.
Again, the schools have decided that in football that the top 16 schools are going to be 7A, the next 16 schools are going to be 6A, the next 32 are going to be 5A, 48 in 3A and 4A, and then the rest will be 2A. So that's what the schools have decided. They have also decided by vote that they want conferences of 8. Now, 3 years ago, that was not the case. We could have conferences from 7 to 9. So if we had a geographical the situation that wasn't pleasant for a school, like we had, Fort Smith had to go to Jonesboro to play in a conference. That's not what you would think is something that you need to be doing. So we could do 7 and 9, and we were able to do that. But the schools came back and said, no, we want football to have conferences of 8. That way they have a even number conference schedule. There's no advantage because somebody gets to play 9 games and 2 weaker teams, and we only get to play 7 teams, and we don't get to play the 2 weaker teams, those types of things. So they said we're going to put them in conferences of 8. And then when you put those dots on the map, it never works out like you would like it to. There are always decisions that I shouldn't say decisions. There's always calculations on Google Maps or Apple Maps that you have to do in order to decide, okay, how do we do this? So anybody can look at these maps. They're on our website. You go to our website, go to the sports and activities page, click on football, scroll down, you'll see conference maps. And this map is on there for every single classification. This the one you have in your hand is the 5A map, obviously.
Right.
And I think everybody, when they look at the map, they say, okay, there are 7 schools that go together. And that's the schools down here in Southwest Arkansas and then the 2 Hot Springs schools. So that's 7. Now, the school said that we have to have 8, so you have to go find the closest school to that group of schools. And in that particular case, it's Little Rock Parkview. So if there was somebody a little, what if Benton went down to 5A? Well, Benton would be closer to Little Rock Parkview, so
right.
we could put Benton in there. But they're not. You have to pick the next closest one. When we first put this out, they said, well, what about one of the Pine Bluff schools? Well, if you took one of the Pine Bluff schools over and Parkview down with the Pine Bluff schools, then what you've done is you've increased their travel by taking one of their closest trips away from them. And by rule, you can't decrease somebody's travel while increasing somebody else's travel and make that change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all based on mileage. The worst example, or the best example of the worst situation possible, is in Northeast Arkansas. When you look at that map, there are 7 schools in Northeast Arkansas that absolutely go together. Well, again, you have to have 8. And then you go down to Searcy and Harding Academy that are literally 3 miles apart. And we have to split Searcy and Harding Academy. And people will go, they're 3 miles apart. How come they're in different conferences? Well, it's because one of those has to go up to fulfill that Northeast Conference that has 7. You have to have 8. So it's the closest one to them. And by 3.1 miles, Harding Academy was closer to those schools in Northeast Arkansas.
So the old rule of 7 to 9 would actually gave you guys more flexibility in determining conferences.
It did.
Yeah.
And the schools did not like that.
Huh. That's kind of odd to me.
You know, one of the things that we'll talk about with these 8-team conferences now, if that's okay, we'll do that. So here's one of my questions is you know, next week, I believe, we're going to go up to play Parkview at War Memorial Stadium, and it's on Thursday night. And if I understand it correctly, Catholic and Little Rock Parkview share War Memorial Stadium. So I'm going to assume that Friday night, Catholic's playing somebody at War Memorial.
That I don't know.
But
I will tell you this. We tell you you can play anytime you want to play, Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
So we don't tell the schools when they're going to play. You get to play one game that week, and you can play it on Tuesday night if you want to. You can play it on Thursday night, Friday night. You can play it on Saturday. Doesn't matter to us. You have to play your game during that week. Can't play on Sunday. That's the only rule that we have.
Right.
So if they're playing on Thursday night, it's because the two schools agreed to play on Thursday night, or there was a conflict that made Thursday night the best choice.
Yeah.
So we don't tell them what to do.
Yeah, and my thought was is since it's such a long drive for kids and stuff, you know, and having to go to school the next day, if we could switch it where it was on Friday night. And I think Parkview plays just about every Thursday night.
They have played several Thursday night games, but they play some Friday night games as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an unfortunate situation that they're having to share a stadium, so you just work around the conflicts. And that brings me to a great point that, you know, they're going up to Little Rock. You are having to travel to Little Rock on a school night. I got an email Monday morning from a very irate parent of because their 7th and 8th grade sons that play on a football team had to travel far away on a Thursday night why in the world would we make them play that game? We did not make them play that game. And you don't want to throw the school administrators under the bus, but they're the ones – somebody scheduled that game. It was not the AAA that scheduled that game.
Yeah.
We don't put junior highs in conference. We don't tell junior highs who they have to play, who they want to play. They can play whoever they want to play. That's up to them. So that's another thing that – you know, people see, well, the AAA is making us go 2.5 hours on a Thursday night. We didn't get home until 12:30 on a school night. No, AAA did not do that. That was the doing of your schools.
So essentially, junior high games being on Thursday night are just a tradition. It's not anything that's in the AAA rules or anything like that.
No, not
the same way with high school games being on Friday night. You could play Monday and Tuesday night if you wanted to.
You could.
Yeah. Okay.
And we would prefer Friday night, and I think everybody prefers Friday night because it's not a school night, because it does alleviate some of those travel issues that you have of traveling on a school night. But yeah, you can play whenever you want to play. As long
you can
as you
even play Saturday
night.
Morning.
You can play Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and we have some schools that do that from time to time.
Right, right. Well, I think that is a great explanation. I don't understand why. And of course, we're looking out for DeQueen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a born leopard, but I'm an adopted one. I look at this and, you know, I would like for it to work out better for us some way. But, you know, it does seem like the 7-9 team conference idea would give you all more flexibility. And why is that not in football, but I know we play in a 6-team conference this year for all the other sports.
Right. Well, all the other sports are completely different than football. And one of the questions that I get a lot is, how come we're not in the same conference in football as we are in basketball, baseball, and softball and all that? Well, that's real simple. And I wish this would change. I really do. We only have around 200 schools that play football. We have 320-some-odd schools that play other sports.
I didn't realize it was that many.
So when you look around here, there's a 3A school just right down the road that does not play football.
Yeah.
So if I had my druthers, I would say, okay, if you're 3A and up, you have to play football. Of course, you can't do that. We don't mandate that. Schools, again, make the rules. They make that decision whether they're going to play football or not. There's another school close by that doesn't have a volleyball team. They're a very large school, and they don't have a volleyball team. So that means when you start doing volleyball conferences, that conference that you have set for basketball doesn't work because two of those schools don't play volleyball, so you've got to go find some more schools or just make them a 6-team league instead of an 8-team league because they don't play volleyball. And again,
I'm gaining a lot more respect for Mr. Roberts.
Well, it's not as easy as everybody thinks because, you know, everybody says, well, let's put those 8 teams in a conference and they play each other.
Yeah.
There's a 3A conference in Northwest Arkansas that if we did that, of those 3A teams, now we're not talking about little bitty schools. We're talking about 3A schools. Of those 8 teams, there are only 2 of them that field football teams. So, okay, let's do that. Let's put them in a conference together and say, y'all play each other. And now you've got 2 teams that play each other 8 weeks in a row to determine who's the conference champion in football.
Yeah.
Well, basketball, baseball, softball, all of that, it works out great. But it does not work for football because 6 of those 8 don't play football.
I guess the question is, how do we get the 7-9 team conference thing back on the agenda? Because one of the things we talk about a lot is, you know, we played Horatio a couple weeks ago. Huge crowd, more people mm-hmm. sitting in lawn chairs and standing than you know, sitting in the bleachers, and less non-conference games would give us an opportunity to, one, schedule more competitive games and games with bigger gates. I mean, we go to some of these places that are, you know, pretty far away, such as a Fairview, such as a Parkview. We don't take very many, and when they come here, they don't bring right. very many.
Yeah.
So.
Well, go ahead. I'll let you answer.
Yeah, and that goes back to classification. The rules of classification for public schools is based solely on enrollment. We take a 3-year average of the numbers that the schools provide to the Department of Education, or DESE. We take those numbers, and we know those numbers are accurate numbers because that's the numbers that they get their funding from. So they're going to be accurate numbers. They're not going to fudge on those numbers. So we take those numbers, and you take the 3-year average of those numbers, and they are placed in classifications solely based on enrollment. I think you and I were talking about beforehand about, well, sort of a relegation. If you're not competitive in your league, how come you can't move down? Well, when you think about that, and let's just use DeQueen as an example, as a 5A school, middle of 5A when it comes to enrollment. Well, if they move down to 4A, guess what? There's a 4A school that has to move up to 5A.
Right.
And they're not going to like that a bit.
Right.
So when you make a decision that you feel like is a great decision for one school, you have to also think of how is that going to affect another
school. Absolutely.
And you know, I don't know who the top 4A school is right off the top of my head, but you can go to our website and look on classifications. You can see if we move DeQueen down to 4A, then that top 4A school would have to move up to 5A. They'd right. be the smallest 5A school, and they'd be throwing a hissy fit.
I think there's one about 30 miles to the east that's pretty close to the top. they
might be.
They got right underneath it, I think.
Yeah, might
be. But you know, I think, you know, and one of the things that I think, and of course, you know, again, we're talking about DeQueen, and you know that, and we've had a significant losing streak. We're on a winning streak now, though, with two wins in a row. But you know, if and I know, you know, I know you're going to say the schools decide that, so we that's a given, okay? So we don't have to worry about that anymore. We know that, but we know they decided. But kind of interested in your thoughts about, you know, what if we went to six team conferences instead of 4-8 team conferences, and then that would give you the ability to have, you know, 5 non-conference games. Now it'd change up, you know, you'd have to have some buys and things in the playoffs, but you know, for a school like us, you know, that could, when you get to the point that we're at, having some winnable non-conference games is extremely important.
I agree. Yeah, no doubt. And I agree with that 100%. But at the same time, you have to look at the broad picture of, okay, what's best for DeQueen is not going to be best for Bryant.
Well, it sounds like for now your hands are tied. If you're tied to 8-team conferences.
They're tied, and that's because the schools have voted that in. But what if we weren't tied?
Right.
Okay, what if they weren't tied? And we could say, okay, let's do that. Let's have 5 conference games where they can have 5 non-conference games. I'll take you to about 10 different schools. Greenwood, Bryant, Conway, Fayetteville, Cabot, that's 5, all right? If we had 5 conference games and 5 non-conference games, they would never be able to fulfill a schedule because they can't find people to play them. They struggle to find 3 non-conference games because nobody wants to go play Conway. Nobody wants to go play Bryant. Nobody wants to play Fayetteville. Nobody wants to play Greenwood. And that's why, you know, this year Bryant went out of state. Fayetteville went out of state. Cabot went to Louisiana. They're having to go out of state to find games because nobody will play them. So, again, that would be great for DeQueen, but it would not be good for those teams that struggle to fill a 3-game non-conference schedule, much less a 5-game non-conference schedule.
Well, and you know, and one of the things that we could talk about with that is, and I know you're a coach, and so this the sportsmanship rule, which I don't think it has anything to do with sportsmanship, so I don't call it that. I call it the mercy rule. But you know, the thing about that we talk about all the time is that, you know, how much better would it be if some of these teams that, you know, they're hell bent to get to the mercy rule in the first half, you know, where the whole second half runs. Well, if they get up, you know, if you get up 28 to nothing, you're pretty well assured you're in control. And you know, so play some of your second, third teamers in those games and teach them some things and give them more time to play. And you know, I have said that, but I'm done talking about it because I'm going to be honest with you. You know, we've got our share of we've been mercy ruled quite a bit, you know, here at the Queen. But when we got the chance to not do it, we did it too.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, there are things that, you know, I guess it's just in coaching that we want to, you know, it's just you want to get that win and you want to make sure that it's going to happen and you got to do that. But I think that we could, and I, you know, you can't instigate rules for that stuff. I've never been a coach, so I can't answer the question, but it just seems to me that if you got to play kids for a half where the clock wasn't running, that they get a lot more experience, and that would bode well for your team in the future.
Yeah, and again, that's a rule that the schools have voted in. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, why would a coach not, you know, begin that earlier, begin substituting second, third teamers earlier? And I completely – I've been on both sides of that issue before.
Yeah.
And certainly don't like scoring more points than we need to score in order to, you know, create the tiebreaker that we need in order if there is a tiebreaker and to secure the win of the game. But, again, we can't tell coaches who to play.
No.
I mean, that's not something we can do. We can have conversations about loving kids, all kids, not just your kids, but loving all kids.
Yeah.
And making sure they have an opportunity to benefit from their participation, regardless of what side they're on, whether they're on the winning or the losing side. And, you know, but again, we can't just tell people they can't play their starting quarterback. And I've seen that, and I've had some conversations, and I'm sure there are people that are disappointed in me, and I've been disappointed in some people for their actions as well. So
you've done a great job, I think, explaining this.
Yeah.
The conferences the way they are now and why they are that way. One thing I did want to talk to you about is I'm from West Virginia originally, and they just recently went to four classes, so I know it's a different animal. But everybody makes their own schedule, and you get so many points for beating a team that's 4A, so many for 3A, so many for 2A, so many for 1A, and then you get a bonus point for every game they win in or above their classification. Is there a reason that that can't work in Arkansas?
No, that can work. It's just, again, it goes back to the will of the schools. You know, what is it that
they want to do? So you just can't make that happen.
I can't just snap my fingers and say, okay, you know, and it would be great if you could, you know, if one czar had that opportunity to go, okay, I'm gonna put these eight schools together and these eight schools together, but you're never gonna be able to satisfy the masses doing that. And every state has a different method of classification. Most of them are like us, similar to us, but then you have some, you know, like Kentucky in basketball. They have one classification.
Yeah.
One. They have one state championship. And so, you know, is the Queen going to be in there with Bryant, you know, when it comes to one state championship? Do you want to do that? Our schools would absolutely throw a fit because they want to play schools that are in similar size brackets.
Right.
And the way our classification is now, we do not have a single school that's conferenced or classified or conferenced with a school that's more than twice their size. None. I mean, and that's the way our schools have decided they want it to be. Could there be a relegation type system where you look at the past 4 years or 5 years, you look at the pattern of winning and then put them in a conference? Yeah, that would certainly work. The thing about high school football, though, is it is so cyclical that you may have a great run of kids that come in and do well, and all of a sudden that moves you up to 5A or 6A, and then now you've got the 3A kids by coming back into your program. You right. lose that great group of kids. And in some sports, it doesn't take a whole lot of kids to be successful. In basketball, you may, or baseball or softball, you've got a great pitcher, you know, you're going to have a great team. It's that simple. Regardless of the other eight that are out there, mm-hmm. you're going to have a great opportunity to win. But once they graduate, does that mean you need to, you move up about the time they graduate, and then you're not as good, so you move back down? There's no good answer.
You know, the classifications in West Virginia, they're by enrollment like they are here. They're just not put in conferences.
Right.
You go out and find your own schedule. And it sounds like to me your hands would be tied on that too. You just can't go out and make an edict, say this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But you don't think that you think that it could work if enough schools would agree to do it?
Yes and no.
Okay.
In theory, it could work. I would bet that there are some rules in place that make people have to play people they don't want to play. Because, I mean, who in their right mind right now would schedule Bryant or Conway or Fayetteville? I mean,
well, there are schools in West Virginia that have to go outside the state to find games.
Yeah, but I guess they get their playoff points from that.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Whatever enrollment that out-of-state school is.
But would that be fair to those schools, you know, to a Greenwood, you know, to a program that's won a lot of state championships? Would that be fair to them to say, okay, you're going to have to go play all your games outside or against competition that's much bigger than you, and then we're going to come back and put you in a playoff bracket with schools your own size?
Right.
You know, I don't know. I can see some pros and cons in that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the schools that are really, really competitive, I think they have a very difficult time fielding a schedule.
Right.
Anything else you want to talk about with football? Because I'm going to move on to some other sports.
No, you've done a great job. Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming in so much. But so let's talk about basketball and other sports as well. You know, one of the issues that we have, of course, you know, we live in the corner of the state. We know we're going to have to travel some, but, you know, I'm going to use golf for an example. If I'm not mistaken, the golf tournament last year, the state golf tournament, was in Pocahontas mm-hmm. for our classification. And I know that happens a lot, you know, and we'll just use, you know, I don't think that it's right for to have a state tournament in DeQuain. We don't have the facilities to host a state tournament as far as and I'm not talking about the school facilities. What I'm talking about more
golf.
I'm talking about like where people can stay. We don't mm-hmm. have enough places.
He's
for
right
people.
About golf too.
Yeah. He's right about the golf too. Yeah, we don't have a golf tournament. But you understand what I'm saying. We don't have enough places for people to stay, so they're going to have to drive an hour away to Texarkana, mm-hmm. drive back and forth, and so you know. I've always thought, and you know, in regional tournaments also, you know, because my girls and now I got granddaughters that are playing basketball, you know, and we're driving from here to Warren, and if you win, you're going to be driving three or four nights in a row back and forth. You know, I've always wondered if there was some way we could move those things to the center, like, you know, if you look at the center of the state, you got Magnolia, Arkadelphia. Of course, you've got all kinds of places in, you know, around Little Rock, Conway, you know, there, Searcy. I mean, you could bring everybody just about to the center of the state where nobody had to drive,
right.
you know, a long, long ways.
Right.
But it's gonna require something different, and I don't know what that is. Just wonder what your thoughts are.
Okay,
on that.
Let me explain the process first.
Okay,
and let's talk about golf first, since you mentioned golf.
Okay,
Dr. Walters is over golf, and every single year, even at this late time, he is begging people to host the state golf tournament.
Yeah.
So when you see golf is in this area or this course or that course, it's probably because they said, yes, we'll do it.
Dr. Walters' persuasive powers.
Yes. I mean, because it you just don't have a lot of courses that are going to shut down their course for 3 days and say, y'all come on, which, you know, it gets difficult. We do have to beg, borrow, and steal trying to get people to host those. As far as the regionals and state tournaments are concerned, those are done through a bid process mm-hmm. where – a school will say, hey, we want to bid on the Region 5A 3 regional basketball tournament. And they come to a meeting and they present their bid. We've got a great hospitality room, plenty of parking, blah, 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 great arena. And then the board votes on that. And the board will vote to award it to this school or to that school. So the board makes that decision. I will tell you this, that in most of our sports, we only get one bid. So it's an easy decision for the board when you get one bid. Basketball is more competitive. People want to host basketball more. And the board does a fantastic job of trying to move that. They'll look at the history because they've got a sheet of the history. Okay, last year the region was on this side of the region. This year, let's move it over on that side of the region or somewhere in the center so that they don't have to drive as much. And they try to go back and forth like that. There are years, though, where this side of the region didn't bid on it. So it's going to go back to that side of the region for the fourth year in a row. Right. Why is that? The only reason that is because nobody on this side bid on it because they do like to move it around. Yeah. And as far as state tournaments, especially, well, in basketball, all the state tournaments, they love to move them down to different quadrants of the state. So that's one of the things that they look at when they do that bid selection process. But again, we have so many. At the beginning of that meeting, the chairman of the board, he says, I need a motion to accept all single bids. And then all those single bids are taken off the table. They're awarded because there's only one bid. So that's where that tournament's going to go or that event's going to go.
Yeah, right. So if you're talking about golf, I mean, you find one place and say, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I understand that because if you got basically anywhere, if they don't want to shut down for 3 days,
that's
they're,
right.
they're not going to get paid for it.
Yeah.
And so I understand that. And I understand the basketball too. So essentially, if Southern Arkansas – let me use them for example. If they wanted to host the 4A regional tournament, which that's what we'll be in here, 4A, they could make a bid on it if they wanted to.
Sure, they'd have to go through a high school in order to make that bid, but it could be at Southern Arkansas. It could be at SAU. That's
right,
correct. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay. We don't have a lot of luck during basketball playing at universities because they're still playing, and they even if they're on the road, they don't want to give up their practice opportunities.
Right.
You know, so
right. Yeah, I just wondered how that worked. You got something else?
No, man, I really, really appreciate you coming in and answering our questions. You know, like I said, we're leopards through and through, and you kind of see things through those rose-colored glasses, but you've done a good job of explaining. And it sounds like to me, if I'm wrong, you can correct me, it sounds like to me change is going to come when enough schools come together and untie your hands to do some of these things.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it again, getting 300 schools to agree to change is something else.
Yeah,
you know.
So here's one question for you. So if you're voting on football things, do only the football playing schools get to vote, or do everybody get to vote?
Well, it depends on if it's a football issue or not. Yes.
If it's just a football issue,
football schools get to vote.
Okay, so everybody doesn't vote then.
And there are times where it's just a senior high issue, so only senior highs can vote, or junior high issue, so only junior high members can vote. But, yeah, it's specific to who it is. Classification, that's going to be every senior high school. Whether they play a sport or not, they have an opportunity to vote on classifications.
Well, hey, we really appreciate you coming in, Steve, and just explaining everything to us, making us understand it better. So we won't be bad mouthing you much. One last question before we let you go.
Hey, I'm going to take a picture of this map and put it on the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Facebook page and my Facebook page.
Yeah, and again, if they want to see them all, they can go to our website.
Yeah.
Click on football, and they see it. Click on basketball. Go down to conference maps, and you'll see how everybody's conferenced. And again, conferencing, people think we're just stupid, and I get that. And on classifications, being in a different conference classification in volleyball than you are in football, or baseball than you are in football, on the surface that doesn't make a lot of sense. But when you try to put 300 pegs in 200 holes, or 200 pegs to fill up 300 holes, where again, if I had my way, I'd say, hey, if you're going to be a member school, you got to play it all. Of course, I'm a football guy. I want everybody to play football. It's the greatest sport ever invented.
Right.
And I think everybody needs to be playing football. But I don't have that. I can't tell that school down the road that's a 3A school that they have to start football. I don't have that authority to do that. So until everybody does everything, you're going to have them in different conferences and different classifications. That's just the way it's going to be.
And that probably never will happen.
Never will happen.
Yeah. So here's my last question for you. What's the deal with week zero?
That's a great question.
Told you, if we had him in here 35, 40 minutes, we'd ask one good question.
No, that is a great question. And I'm in your camp. That makes zero sense to me to have week zero. We have traditionally had week 1 through 10, and then we added another week. And instead of moving week 1 back a week and having 1 through 11, they decided to call it 0 week. And you could play 0 week, where you could either play your benefit game or your first regular season game during 0 week. I don't know why. Conference games start week 4. You can play 3 out of those 4 weeks. But, yeah, they just decided to call it 0 week. That was before my time.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one of the things about it, it does allow a little bit of flexibility in scheduling. You know, if you have trouble getting a schedule, you may can get one this week,
sure,
but not that week, and you can lay off one of those weeks. So,
well, and you look at what people have done since we've added 0 week. Most of them, they love playing 0, 1, and 2 and taking week 3 off as a bye week before they start conference, to get people healthy and, you know, fine-tune some things before they start the conference schedule. Like that last week, we only had about 40 games last week across the state.
Right.
Because most everybody had already played their 3 non-conference games. But it does give some flexibility. It also gives those schools that are going out of state an opportunity to play teams in contiguous states that are on a different schedule than us. They start a week earlier or a week later than us, and gives them an opportunity to schedule them.
Yeah. Well, I still don't like zero, but I do
it's
understand.
It's really one of his things.
Yeah.
But you just call them week 1 through 11. Yeah. We'll let you do that.
Then I get all messed up. I can't realize what it is. But Steve, we really appreciate you. And we coming in and straighten us out on all this stuff. And we've been talking with the executive director, associate executive director of the Arkansas Activities Association, Steve Roberts. And we just appreciate your time so much and you being so kind to us and not acting like we're idiots. But we thank you for your time and we appreciate you so much and look forward to hearing you later on today. And then we'll go from there. Thank you.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Great to be with you today.